We're going to look at the fourth chapter of, and possibly the fifth chapter of Romans this morning. First verse of the fourth chapter, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the godly, ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh the blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision as seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgressions. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Yet therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for also us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But now as the offense is, so also is the free gift. For it, through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so was the gift of the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of the many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Whereas by one man sins disobedience, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, this is a very good treatise about God's gift of grace to His people. That's what it's all about. God's gift of grace to His people. Paul starts with Abraham, and he calls Abraham our father. And he says that Abraham, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath word of the glory, but not before God. And he says, but what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, my question is, where did Abraham's faith come from? Did he just decide one day, I think I'm going to believe in God. I think I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to believe in the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ. No, this faith and this belief that was credited to him for righteousness was grace. It's grace, the grace of God that was imparted to him, that was given to him. You can't separate faith and belief and grace. They're all a package deal. And he said in the sixth verse, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Who does the imputation? By the way, imputing means that to give a credit to. If you're going to impute sin to somebody, you're going to give him the credit for committing this sin. If you're going to give someone righteousness, you're going to give them the credit for the righteousness. And that's what David's saying here. That God imputeth or gives us credit for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. In other words, they're a very special people that God has shown grace to and mercy to and has covered their sins. And he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He will not impute their sin. All men have sinned. We're all born and conceived in sin. We see that in the fifth chapter. All men are born and conceived in sin. But there's a certain group of people. David says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, he will not credit the sins to their account. He has laid the sins upon Jesus Christ. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? So he goes into quite a discussion about the circumcision, the uncircumcision, the circumcision being those of the Jews, the physical Jews, and the uncircumcision being those who were not physical Jews. And he said that the circumcision, or the physical heritage of the Jews, has nothing to do with who God will or will not impute sins to. You know, it has to do with his choice as to who he wants to impart his grace and his righteousness to. And he said that there's one distinguishing characteristic of this is the faith that is given to those who believe upon Jesus Christ. And he talks about the fact that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness' sake. In the 23rd verse it says, 22nd verse it says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sakes alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. So we can take comfort to know that if we believe in Jesus Christ, and if we believe the gospel, we believe the word of God, that our sins will not be imputed to us because we have been given the gift of faith by God. And that he's raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and will raised again for our justification. That's why Jesus Christ was delivered up, so that our sins would be credited to his account and would not be imputed upon us, but were imputed upon him. And therefore, he says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Abraham was justified by faith, and he had peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we did. And we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The only thing that we can stand on is God's work in salvation. He imparts faith unto us. He reconciles us to God. He does not impute our sins unto us. He lays all of our sins on Christ's account for his completed work on the cross. And so we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and sway. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So he is all of our hope and stay. And he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, all given unto us. This isn't any work of man. Does not rely upon the free will of man. The free will of man has nothing to do with God's work in salvation. The Holy Ghost is given unto us that while we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. know, you don't have to measure up. You don't have to be a member of some social club. You don't have to be in some physical genealogy. You don't have to be from some part of the world. You don't have to be a physical Jew. But he says that we were, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're saved from wrath through the completed work of Jesus Christ. We're not saved from wrath through our free will, by accepting Jesus Christ and make, you know, the hour of decision. No. It says we were enemies. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We couldn't do anything. We were justified by his blood, and we shall be saved from wrath through him. We were enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know, this atonement is not for everybody. This atonement is for those for whom Christ died. This atonement is not a universal atonement. This atonement is for those to whom he will not impute sin to. The atonement is for those for whom Christ gave the gift of eternal life to. The atonement is for those who the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto them. So it says, under the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. We're all born and conceived in sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. They're all filthy rags. But Jesus Christ says, for not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So here he says that the grace of God, and it's a gift by grace, by one man, Jesus Christ. Where's free will in that? Where's the Arminian gospel in that? All the credit and all the glory is given to Jesus Christ. That he came and he gave us the gift of grace, and it has abounded unto many. It doesn't say it has abounded unto all. This grace, this gift was not for everybody. It was given to a special group of people for whom Christ had a tremendous amount of love and laid down his life for. And so he says, for as by man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And it says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say there that grace might reign through our own righteousness. If we were to trust in our own righteousness, we would have no hope of eternal life. If we were to trust in our own free will and our own power of decision and our own works of our hands, we would have no hope for eternal life. But here he says that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ is the one that did the work through his own death, burial, and resurrection, through his own choice of freely laying down. He says, I freely lay down my life and I freely take it up again. So this is a tremendous passage of Scripture that shows us that we, our sins have not been imputed to us. He tells us in another place, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And you know, it goes on to say, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so, if we're in Christ, we're going to suffer persecution, we're going to suffer rejection, we're going to suffer. That's just part of the package. But it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. In other words, God's the one that has given us the grace. He's the one that's done all the work. He's the one that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we need to remember that continually, that this grace that is given unto us is a completed work of Jesus Christ. All of our sins have been imputed unto Christ, and he was not going to impute our sins unto us. Our transgressions and our sins are under the blood, and that it was a covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Christ would come and he would die for a people. And again, just to close on this note, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all round my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Father, we thank you that we can come to you through Jesus Christ, who has paid the penalty for our sin, and that you have not imputed our sins unto us, but you have laid them on him. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the 53rd chapter of Isaiah that says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We thank you that you have taken on our sin, and they're not imputed to us. We thank you for the gift of faith to believe this tremendous gospel. We thank you for laying your life down freely for us. We thank you for the resurrection, for the power. If it wasn't for your resurrection, we'd be without hope in the world. We thank you for the fact that we have an eternity to look forward to be in communion with you who's done this great work for us. We pray that you would enlighten our eyes to the truth that it has nothing to do with man's works of the circumcision, but it has to do with the fact that you have circumcised our hearts, and you have your grace has been shed abroad in our hearts. We ask this for your name's sake and for your glory alone. Amen.